Watch the background sound. Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. I want to wish everyone on the West Coast a Happy New Year, everybody on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone got that wish last night. We are actually doing our officially first show according to the West Coast time schedule for the year 2009, although we were in 2009 when we started the show on the Eastern time zone last night. So one of those crazy things about time zones. Hope everyone had a wonderful holiday and a safe holiday. And we have a weekend coming up, which is going to allow us to veg out a bit more before we get back into the grind. Tonight, we're going to talk about a really interesting topic. And it has for some people, more serious implications, more serious consequences, and is definitely an aggravation in your lives. And we're going to identify some things that are going on with the internet. This is an important topic. The guest tonight and I have been looking at this situation for some time. In fact, our network has been looking at this, and many, many people around the world have been wondering who the heck is behind all the hacking and the spamming and the phishing emails and the attempts to steal your identity to get into your bank accounts. Well, it have to be some pretty serious criminals doing it. And based on my general research, I find the criminals are in the most abhorrent places, what the masses would consider the least likely places, those that make the laws that we're supposed to abide by. The intelligence agencies that work on their behalf, which are nothing more than fronts for money laundering and theft, drug dealing, murder, pedophilia, and every other disgusting thing you can think of going on at this time on planet Earth. That said, we're going to talk specifically about a case that's affecting one person, a woman, with dire consequences, and we're going to bring some discernment forward. And I'm going to ask the listening audience to really pay attention to these things, because you go through the same thing every day without even realizing what's happening to you. And before I go any further, I'm going to bring tonight's guest on. He is one of the most famous webmasters, founder of a website called educate-yourself.org in the world. And he is a researcher, an author, a journalist, a metaphysician, and we could say a metaphysical inventor of sorts. He's really into orgone energy and other devices that tend to assist us in the healing process, self-healing. And in addition to that, he is a good friend and has helped me with my website and been a guest on this show many times. Want to welcome him with a big Happy New Year, Mr. Ken Adachi. Welcome to Evident Footprints again.
Hi, Don. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you, of course. Thank you for all your kind words, as always. You, I can only imagine I could live up to the wonderful things you say about me, but I appreciate it deeply. Tonight, we had talked briefly on the phone earlier today, and I wanted to... I'm sorry that I'm discussed yet on my website, but I plan to, and because we've been privately talking about this between us, I thought this would be a good night to bring up this subject. And it ties in with the sort of research that you do, because you find many hidden things on the internet, and you particularly see the hidden hand of intelligence and phony government fronts or organizations that appear to be independent producers or of one sort or another, or a type of organization that offers some sort of service. Very often you find that this is just a convenient front for other hidden, illicit activity concerning the internet. And I'll start with the story that I wanted to bring up tonight. It has to do with the online publication of copyrighted books. A few years ago, perhaps, I forget exactly, maybe around the year 1999, 2000, 2001, somewhere in there, 2000, I can't remember exactly. But I was familiar with the writings and the lectures of Fritz Springmeier, and I had offered his 1998 Granada Forum video on my projects, etc. I did have an opportunity to talk to a CISC author. I think it was around 2003. I'm not dead sure. I have to go back to check the time frame, 2003 or 2004. She had sent me an email because she was upset that she had saw the full text of the book she co-wrote with Fritz Springmeier.
Hey, Ken, if I can interrupt you just for a second, your voice is skipping a little bit now. I don't know if that's actually being heard by the listening audience. If you've got some other programs open, I would close them if
okay.
you can.
All right. Talking, I'm going to be doing that, okay?
Oh, okay. Just wanted to alert you to that.
We don't want... Okay. All right. Okay, I'm going to... I'm closing as I'm talking with you. All right, well, just getting back to the brief story about Cisco Wheeler. She sent me an email, and she was upset that the text of her book was available on my website, on my mind control page. And I wrote her back, and I said... of the interviews I have with you from the radio station that you did in Canada, et cetera, is all done in the interest of helping you get out the word. I told her, I says, I had no idea that this was not authorized. I just presumed that Fritz wanted it to be in line because, maybe this happened on 2004. Fritz was sentenced to prison approximately 4 years ago. He was sentenced to 11 or 12 years in prison for a trumped-up bank robbery charge. He was simply railroaded into prison and took him off, out of circulation. And I assumed or thought that he had authorized the way to continue to get his information out because he was going to be in jail now. It's just an assumption that I made because there was many websites that offered this book online. I just happened to pick one of them. But when I don't think I even went after it. An individual. And they said, maybe this is something you want to put on your mind control page. So I did. So I explained that to her. I says, had I known you did not authorize this, I would not have put it up. So she gave me your phone number. We talked on the phone for quite well. And to cut the story short, she ultimately gave permission for me to put her two books, The Illuminati Formula and the Deeper Insights into the Illuminati Formula. She authorized me to leave them on my website because I told her I would happily try to help her sell her books because I know she and Fritz's wife are depending on that for income. So so what I did is I made a deal with her. I told her I'm going to provide, your links for selling the book, et cetera, which I did. I happily did that. I also found out from her that she was putting up a cost on those books, It was almost $200. And I told her, I says, you're not going to sell many books. The price is too high. She says, but I'm paying over $70 a book just to have them printed. So I told her, I says you're peerless. You can have the book printed for $15 or something. It was 470 pages. I says a spiral bound book, it's not that expensive that you're being that you charge. So I told her where we can get it at a more reasonable cost, so you can sell it at a more reasonable cost. And that's the way it went with her. But that's the first introduction that I had. Online books may not necessarily be authorized. I just presume that's the case. I was looking at the website, very good website. I was going to put his information on my website. I came to a page on his website in which he had a free download of Bryce Taylor's book, Thanks for the Memories. Now, I have a close association with Bryce Taylor because I was involved with the group that helped sponsor her to the West Coast in 1999 to do a video lecture in Pasadena. And subsequently, I helped her sell her books. I bought books from her, and I made them available through my website, but I also made links to her location. She's currently in South the book. I generally try traffic towards her so she would get the income, because I knew she was depending on this income to make a living. This is her book. It's easily an explosive, yet MK Ultra mind control victim, and particularly at that level, she what they call a presidential model, MK Ultra slave, and her book was extremely powerful. I think one of the best to date. Okay, so I was looking this man's website, free upload to the Bryce Taylor book. Now, at the time, I assumed that this man had scanned the book and uploaded it on his own. I sent him an email. I was extremely angry with him because I thought, who's this guy? Where does he come off? Scanning this woman's book and offering it for a free upload, denying her sales. He got me. He says, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was doing anything wrong. I obtained the book from this website. It was called Scribd.net. And he said, I thought it was, everything was okay. They're offering it there. In fact, I've seen it on many places. I was just linking to them. Now, I didn't know that. So when I went to the Scribd.net site, sure enough, there's Bryce Taylor's book with a lot of other books I'm seeing, many of them by current living authors. Long story short, I contacted Liz. I did a search, and not only do I find your book uploaded to the Scribd.net, but there's numerous websites that are offering your book as a free download. So that's how I first discovered that there are perhaps hundreds of websites that offer free downloads of copyrighted material, and they do not seek permission from the author at all. Bryce is a perfect example. No one contacted her to say, do we have your permission? No way. She didn't even know herself until I told her that her book was being downloaded. But what she did know is that her book sales had fallen off precipitously in the last year and a half. That's what she did know.
Mm-hmm.
And I offered the book on my website, too. And while I said I intentionally steered most of my links towards her so she would get the sale, a few people landed on my products page, found the book, and would offer through me. I get one here and there. But I hadn't gotten any either in the last year and a half. None.
Mm-hmm.
And she was accustomed to a certain rate of sale. There was a time she had the book listed on Amazon.com, and so she became accustomed to the average rate of sales. And then she noticed this started to dwindle till nothing. So that's how we both found out that her book is being illegally, without authorization, being posted. Now, she started to send emails to these various internet outfits that are posting her book.
Mm-hmm.
And without exception, every single one of them responded in the following fashion. We are posting this. We are a torrent site. I don't know the jargon of the lingo so well, and we do not upload books, but rather, they all of them say, "Well, we're just sort of a facilitator. We provide links," type of thing.
Yeah.
And then they said, "But if there's any copyright concerns, go to this page and fill out this form." So they force you, the owner, the copyright owner, to fill out a number of forms to satisfy them that you're the legitimate copyright holder. And then after that, they want you to take their form to a notary public, it notarized, to send it to them in order to further prove that you're the author. And then after that, they'll talk about maybe taking down your material. What she noticed and what I noticed right off the bat, these internet outfits that are doing this are very arrogant and they're to do this. To a 96 statutory quote law that's with the abbreviation DMCA. Now, at this moment, I can't remember what the acronym stands for. I did know it, but the acronym is DMCA.
Well, let me say this, if I can interrupt just for a second. I know quite a bit about copyright law from the music business, and it applies to books and things like that. If she hasn't posted the whole book on the Internet as a free download or even something other than what she charges for the regular price of the book, they're in violation of her copyright. It's very simple. It's copyright infringement, and it's fraud.
Exactly. I mean, this is what a reasonable person would conclude, and mm-hmm. that's what I do. And I said it to her. I said, however, these people do not act or respond as if they are doing anything illegal. Quite the opposite. They're full of, let's call it, polite arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
They're very condescending in the way they responded to her, and then eventually she got their attention because I also wrote three or four of these outfits who were giving her the runaround like you couldn't believe, stall tactics, stonewalling her, otherwise brushing her off, always posturing themselves as being perfectly within the rules of the DMCA. They all use this statute as a convenient crutch to lean on in telling you that hey, don't talk to, well, you know, you can't talk to us like that. We're operating within the rules of the DMCA. So what I did is I sent a few of my own emails very strongly telling these people that I'm going to expose them on my website for starters, but we will take legal action against them.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got very, very strong worded with them, then they tended to get off their high horse and cooperate more. But we perhaps were able to get to 8 or 9 or 10 out of what easily is 50, 60, 70 sites. But some of them had said, the ones at least that we addressed very strongly promised they would take it off. In the last day or two, Bryce contacted me, and she said that one of these outfits, who had said back in October of last year that they would take all uploads of this off their site, she found the uploads are still there. So she sent them a strongly worded email saying that, you know, I just went through this in October. And they essentially, again, treating her with incredible condescension and disrespect, sends her back a form response that says, dear copyright holder, if you want to establish your rights. In other words, they were trying to force her to start the process all over again. All the hoops that she had to jump through back in October when we first approached them, they wanted to start from ground zero again.
Well, there's only one entity that we know that does things like that, and that's called the government.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Let's use a little bit of discernment there, right?
Right. So, she sent me some emails yesterday and today in which she's sending me copies of her back-and-forth comments to this one outfit, which we, thanks to you, just discovered tonight is located in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, before we go into that, let's digress for a moment.
Okay.
And because I brought up the issue of the hacking that's going on.
Yes, right, right, yes,
and,
go ahead.
And the identity theft and the attempts to enter one's hard drive and steal your banking information and passwords and passcodes or any private information that you have stored on your computer's hard drive, or it could be in your RAM for that matter. And just stop and think for a moment. We're sold computers that have software, and we're told that the manufacturers of the computers stand behind their product, and the software manufacturers do everything possible to protect the integrity of the purchase and the privacy of the individual. Mm-hmm. Yet they always have these little loopholes that they can wriggle their way out of a calamity if one discovers that they're actually at fault or they're facilitating these clandestine invasions of one's privacy and tampering of your products. It's like someone breaking into your home or into your business when they get into your computer. Now, people buy software to prevent viruses. Well, it's becoming very clear who's creating the viruses. They create software and updates, which they call security fixes, to deal with certain hacking techniques that are developed. When we know who is developing hacking techniques, in fact, what is becoming very clear is that certain programs, and I can name these programs because we know that people with these programs are still having these problems. Norton SystemWorks or Norton Utilities or Disk Doctor, whatever you want to call the Norton programs, which are made by Symantec,
yes,
which is a defense contractor. They are part of the military-industrial complex. Then you have Adobe Systems. You have the Adobe Reader and the Adobe PageMaker and Photoshop. And you yourself, we've talked about it on this show, had an experience with an MIT HTML inside a photo. You had a threatening photo sent to you that took over your computer, and it had two links in it, or these are URLs that are embedded in there in HTML format, linking MIT and Adobe systems to your computer.
Yep.
Okay, so the source of the photo obviously had to be from one of those two or both entities working in concert together. And I had discovered that, and I had removed that for you so you could post the photo safely. There is a way for anyone can do that. I happen to be a little bit smarter than the average computer user. I am by no means a programmer or anything like that. I'm a neophyte as far as that is concerned, but I do know a few things that are important as a researcher. They're invaluable as a researcher. So, you know, I can take a photo that's been posted on the internet or given to me, and I can discern who's been playing with it, to use street language, who's had it in their hands. Now, our network, BBS Radio, gets hit with thousands of spam or phishing email just intended to logjam the stream, to interfere with the broadcasts that are being produced out of the network, from the studios, out to the servers, and out to the public. Yes. This is intentional. I've tracked those emails, and I can every time show that they're intelligence agency-based. And yes. when they take you to McLean, Virginia, and Herndon, Virginia, it's quite obvious who's behind it. It's not the local hot dog vendor that's doing this. Okay? No. That just came out that way. But that's a truism. So we know that the people that have McAfee or and there are a slew of other programs. I don't even know all the names because I don't buy them. But I can tell you that these programs have backdoors into your system. They take over the system. They cause one to have to reset permissions in the operating system. Yes. Because they do this through the photos that they post in the ads.
Yes.
They do this, you know, when you have a company like Google tracking every movement that you're making on the internet. What is the purpose of that? Except to be able to profit from what you do or to intrude in what you do and to disclose that information that should be private. So there is a system in place that these things happen. Now let's go back to Toronto. Okay. Yes. You had mentioned the name of the website that was doing this, and we can name this website. I don't see why not. We're on the internet. They're on the internet. Let's name them.
Yeah. No, I'm not afraid to name them at all. This particular one, it's just the one we happen to focus on today. It's certainly not the only one. But this particular one is called fenopy.com, F-E-N-O-P-Y.com. And Bryce had sent me copies of the four or five back and forth emails she's had with somebody at this company who will not identify themselves by a name, but rather, while Bryce Taylor signs her name with each email, I sign my name with each email, this individual merely signs off with the word Fenope. He will not, he or she will not use their name. So I sent an email to this party, and I referred to them as a lowly coward, hiding behind the company name of Fenope, and I told them that we're not going to tolerate their continued obstruction and sort of aloof attitude about their role in stealing this woman's intellectual property. They typically will respond with something that sort of looks like a form letter almost, in which they'll say, this party says that they're just apparently some minor innocent link in a chain of events that they claim that they don't upload anything. Well, the fact of the matter is that when someone does a search on the internet for this book, this outfit is one of the places you can go to and download the book. So they claim, well, we're following the rules of this statutory piece of legislation called the DMCA, and that apparently they would have you think that the DMCA gives them the authority to post any copyrighted book in the universe as a free download, and they have no legal consequences as a result of that. That's based on the way they throw around that excuse whenever we contact them.
Mm-hmm.
They act as if it's a free pass to do whoever writings they wish to upload.
Now, you remember in the music industry a few years ago, Napster had a big problem because they were basically a distribution point for pirating music.
Yes.
And if one is a music composer or an artist, and they're depending upon the sales of their music for survival, for earning a living,
yes,
then they're entitled to be paid for it.
Of course, do you
go to McDonald's or Burger King or any fast food place, don't you have to pay for your food before you even get it? And
yes.
And we won't even talk about whether or not it's healthy for you. We're just talking about the issue that they take your money and then you get the product. And yet, in the music industry, Napster was violating copyright law big time. That the whole operation was nothing but a violation of that. And they made their money. They facilitated the whole process through advertisers on their website or memberships. Okay.
Right.
Now, in
right.
this case, so the listening audience understands how this works, one goes to this site, fenipi.com, and let's say they're Googling the title of the book, and it directs them eventually, if they have the persistence, to look for the particular link. And I personally don't know where it falls into place, if it's the first link or it's the 10th link, or maybe you have to go several pages into it, or if it's a place where people are doing this on a regular basis, illegally downloading copyrighted material that they are illegally making available, then both the company and the people that are downloading it are in violation of that copyright. Now, they have, I'll tell you, Ken, they have a record of everybody who's downloaded that.
Yes,
because that is done for two reasons. One, to drive up the numbers of the value of the website, because they do post. I haven't even been to that site. I'll guarantee you that they have advertising there.
Yes.
Okay? Then the other reason is because of the nature of the information that Bryce Taylor has put in her book, Thanks for the Memories. They can't stop the book. It's already been published. So all they can do is try to harm her financially. This is not just copyright infringement for one's own financial gain, or in this sense, they're not even trying to make money with it. They're trying to prevent her from making money, you see. So it's intended to do her harm. It's got other consequences. This is just using logic and a little bit of discernment. Well, I told you it didn't even take me 5 minutes to find out who this was.
Yes.
Okay. I've been doing this type of research for some time now, and I've gotten pretty good at it. And I'll tell you that it is protected. The information is obscured as much as one could obscure it. and yet it led us to a gold mine of companies that are probably doing this all in concert with each other. This thing about BitTorrents is a distribution system that allows several participants who have this file, Bryce's book, and they're able to stream simultaneously the data to the person that's downloading the information illegally. Just because they're making it available doesn't make it legal to buy it. Why did they prosecute people who were downloading the music from Napster? Why did they prosecute Napster? Because it's illegal. Right. Now, in this case, they're relying on her ignorance, or they're too arrogant. And who do we know that's arrogant these days?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these corporations that are being protected by the rogue criminal elements in the government.
Yes.
Who would be the biggest enemy of Bryce Taylor right now, since Bob Hope is dead?
Right. The government, her handlers.
Who is the handler of her handler?
Kissinger, Henry Kissinger.
Okay, that could very well be the person that ordered that book. We don't know that. We haven't determined that yet, have we? But it could be of someone who had been directed to do that to prevent her from making money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is an actionable offense.
And
we're bringing this information forward because this is happening to people all over the world, not just Bryce Taylor.
Right. Exactly. So that was the point of talking about this tonight, because I've never even seen the topic explored in print. I plan to put up articles on my website about this. But it's long overdue. I understand from a computer user's perspective, when they see these lists of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of free downloads of books, that they can just hit the download button. The book is in their hard drive, and then they could either read it on the computer screen or print it out. So it would be natural to think, oh, this is wonderful. Holy cow. Amazing. I can get all these books free. And I know some people would do it even if they knew it was illegally uploaded, and that they were simply because they wouldn't have to pay to buy a book. So, however, though, I also know a substantial portion of people empathize with what somebody of Bryce Taylor's character and morality is trying to do to assist humanity. This woman has put herself at great personal, financial, and physical risk by publishing this book, which she self-published. There would be no publisher on the face of the earth who would publish it for her. She had no choice but to self-publish it. So she typed it out herself on her computer, her laptop computer. She printed it out in 8x11 paper, both sides. And she went down to the local Kinko's and had them print it off, and had one of these big plastic spiral-bound combs attached to the back of it, to the spine. It stands about an inch and a half, inch and three-quarter high, stacked up. And then she started, she published a book in May of 1999, and during that summer, she did a couple talks at expo conferences on the East Coast, particularly global science conferences. Dean Stonier's Global Sciences. She was invited to one in Florida, I remember. And then finally she came back to the West Coast. She was afraid to return to the West Coast because this is where she was abused and traumatized, et cetera. This is where her handlers were, et cetera. So she had a great fear to come back to the L.A. area, but she did. She at the request of the group that I came to become involved with, particularly this wonderful gal in L.A. By the name of Annie, who sponsored the entire event for Bryce in order to give her an opportunity to tell her story to a West Coast audience. It was videotaped, etc. And I know from talking with her for many hours, I spent time with her and her daughter in Las Vegas in late 1999 to help her. She needed some assistance, I and a couple other volunteers. So I spent many hours talking to Bryce Taylor, and I can attest that she is a cornucopia of very important and valuable inside information about what's truly going on in the deepest recesses of governmental organizations, as well as what's going on with the intel organizations and the abuse that she suffered at the hands of so many well-known, famous people. It's amazing how much torment, abuse, physical pain she has endured at the hands of these criminals, and then to come out with her book. She had a great deal of death threats following her book. They burned down one of her. She had an office in a place where she did her therapy work in South Carolina. Or excuse me, maybe it's North Carolina. And they burned that down. They burned that place down entirely, and they left two paper bags filled with ashes from that torch job on her front porch as a clear signal to her that it was an intentional torching and you better shut up type of intimidation. I won't go into there's many other instances I could tell you about of psychotronics, beam weapons that were aimed at her, etc. This woman has suffered a great deal in her life, first at the hands of the perpetrators who foisted this disgusting MK-Ultra mind control programming on her, and all the abuse she suffered as a victim of sexual slavery and beaten, abused since she was a baby forward by these people, and then to try to help alert the world to the dangers, to the profound gravity, the implications to the future of the entire human race by self-publishing the book and coming out with this. This and her, it's called ECG therapy, I believe, or EG, I can't remember, maybe ECC. She was trained. She has a certificate from a company in which they use a type of computer-based equipment to help balance the left and right hemispheres of the brain. In doing so, it relieves all kinds of both physical and emotional problems. Mm-hmm. So she's been doing that, and depending on the income from the sale of the book. And as I mentioned earlier, that she had saw the sales of the book dwindle down to practically nothing. And she was asking herself, why? And when I contacted her about these internet sites that were uploading it, now it makes complete sense why. Well, anyway, getting back to the user needs to recognize that the person who wrote the book, put herself at risk, put her life at risk, etc., instead of just keeping quiet and fading into the woodwork, which is what most people would do, it's a injustice to her. It's an insult to her, if assuming you are part of humanity. Now, maybe you're one of these individuals who's completely self-absorbed, selfish, and the thought of saving the cost of the book because you can get it as a free download appeals to you more rather than the denial of the rightful income that the author deserves for writing the book and publishing the book. If you're that sort, then my words are going to go right over your head. This is not going to mean anything to you. But if you are a member of humanity, you should recognize that this woman has put herself on the line for the rest of us. She already knows the story. She doesn't have to prove it to her friends or her relatives. But she produced the book so a larger public could become privy to these hidden hidden machinations and these agendas that are in place.
Yeah, these are important,
extremely important.
For everyone.
Exactly.
Anyone could be a victim of what she went through.
Yes.
So we're not more trying to peddle fear.
Victims. Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't about peddling the fear of this, but you find children abducted. Her daughter went through the same thing.
Yes, her daughter went through the same trauma-based victimization that she experienced, again, from babyhood forward. And her daughter's mind could not contain the quantity and level of abuse, so that Kelly's mind, she had a break, if we'll say it, if we can say that, in which she's not functioning at the, let's say, the fully organized cognitive level that most of us operate within. She's limited, so that if you were to meet her and talk to her, and not knowing what happened to her, you would assume she maybe is partially retarded or a slow learner or autism or something like that. Because I spent two or three weeks with Kelly on a couple of occasions, so we spent a lot of time together. And when she has periods of time in which her mind and her psyche will organize better, when she feels it. At the time I was with her, we were living with her grandmother, which is Bryce Taylor's mother. And because only the grandmother, myself, and Kelly were together for about a three-week period, she seemed to integrate more and become more whole during that period, because I remember the level of conversation that I could have with her in the first days I was there, and what the conversation grew to, let's say 3 weeks later, it was a big difference. And I told Bryce about this, and she was so happy to hear that Kelly had that improvement. But what Bryce had told me from the very beginning, that she's on me to take care of her, and I want to take care of her more than anything. But Bryce Taylor was programmed to trigger her own daughter. Now, people who don't know anything about mind control, the use of the word trigger is a device that's instilled into the subconscious mind of the mind-controlled victim. And triggers are anything from certain words, certain sounds, to certain sentences. It could be a color. It could be any stimulus whatsoever could be a trigger.
Yeah, but she could be directed to watch a movie, and they could insert a weather report in a break, and there could be something said by the weatherman that's intended to trigger that response.
Right. Well, what Bryce had told me, he said, the only difficulty is when I'm with her, I unknowingly trigger her, because Bryce doesn't know what the words are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's just talking to her in the normal way that one would talk to a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But Bryce was triggered, Bryce... was her speech patterns were analyzed by computers, and they took words in which she would normally use in everyday conversation, and they programmed Kelly to be triggered by those words, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So Bryce doesn't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but because my speech pattern is different than Bryce, the grandmother's speech pattern is different, she wasn't exposed to those triggering words, phrases, whatever it is. It might even be the tone range of Bryce Taylor's voice itself is doing it. We don't know. But the point is, Bryce triggers the girl, and the girl then goes into deeper levels of mind-splitting psychosis, so that she, her total functional ability decreases greatly.
Or it could be something as simple as them having played recordings of her mother's voice.
Yes.
And just with the suggestion that when she hears that voice, that response takes over.
It's something like that.
It may not even be the words she uses. But that, you know, all of that said, it's obvious that this organization that is just giving her book away for free as a download on their website and is being rather difficult and obstinate about and arrogant or haughty about taking it off is intentionally trying to harm her. So they have been instructed to do that. Now, it's quite interesting, the businesses that are in the same building with this company. This is a web hosting company. It's a Canadian web hosting company. And Google is in the building, and IBM is in the building. And so I'm not saying necessarily that they're participants, but I find it quite interesting that you can put the title of her book, and Google will help you find that site.
Yes.
You see? Well, they can say, well, we help you find anything. Yes. I just find it highly suspicious that all of these companies, and there are even some major stockholders of internet companies in that building. So this is a concerted effort. There's a combination of technologies being used from, I can guarantee you, beyond just what that company does themselves. And so they have been instructed to do this. No one does that on their own volition unless they've been told to, especially when they're warned to stop it.
Yes.
So they're assuming that Bryce doesn't have the capacity to either figure out who's doing it. Didn't even take 5 minutes. We know who that is. Okay. Now, this is the same case in these phishing email examples that I mentioned a bit earlier in the show, and the spam, and these emails that are supposedly coming from Nigeria and China and Korea. They may be routed through these websites.
Yes.
But this is nothing but intelligence agencies. Those people there are not sitting at computers doing these things. This is done through banks. This is done through the intelligence agencies, and it's data mining, just to be a little bit more corrupt.
Mm.
And so it always points back to the same set of companies, and I've mentioned many of them to you. The same cities keep coming up. And we're going to release all that information. It's known to a lot of people now, but it's going to be out there on the street for everybody to see.
Yes, and what I plan to do is I've been keeping a file on every outfit who we contacted and the nature of the communication back and forth, and I have a list of those sites that through searches show Bryce Taylor's book as an available download. We're going to publish who those folks are, and we're probably going to look into taking direct legal action to see what can be done on that front. And I'm hoping that people who listen to this show, for instance, if they're at all bothered by this issue, and if you can understand why I'm even bringing it up tonight and why we're doing this research, is because we collectively have an obligation to people like Bryce Taylor or Fritz Springmeier or anyone else's book who's on one of these free download websites who, again, as I mentioned, they are not seeking permission from anybody to do this. They're merely doing it. And what they're waiting for, or what they respond to, is when the author finds out about it and complains to them, They force the author to jump through a number of loops, posturing themselves as verifying that you're the, you know, you're the legitimate copyright holder and all that crap. And then they may take it down, because I told you there was at least 9 or 10 at least back in October who, after we jumped all over them, I had to particularly jump down their throat to let them know that we meant business. They said they would take it down. Well, this outfit was at least one of them who said at the time they would, and they did not. Now, I just saw another email sent to me this evening by Bryce, in which they had sent her a reply to one of her emails to them that they don't have the upload available, and that somehow it's due to these other outfits that are linking through them, or some statement along that line. I haven't actually checked it myself. I'm going to start clicking through the links and see if the book is there or not. But if it's not there, it's that doesn't in any way relieve these people of their responsibility in putting it, making it available in the first place. And again, I don't understand the structure of these torrent bit links, but if these people are somehow doing this in a sort of networking fashion, then everyone who's participating in that linking process is engaged in copyright infringement, as are the people who download these things.
Well, the company that's doing this, Ken, the domain is located at the physical location of a web hosting company.
Yes.
Their address shows up there. It's not yes, in some remote place.
Yes.
Okay. It's quite clear who's doing it. You see, and these,
yes,
this is a psyops type of situation,
yes,
here.
Right. Right. They're trying to put a public face on of just engaging in something legitimate, and that this is somehow soon we know what the copyright deal is. Well, we're not going to write off our site, and they play that game, and that's fine. But I hope we can bring enough
we will
legal arm to bear to make these people pay the price for their hubris and for their criminal thievery of her intellectual property. This is a crime that sorely needs to be addressed.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time. I appreciate you bringing this forth, and when you find something else out as this transpires, I'll invite you back and we'll discuss this. We want to alert people to the fact that this is happening. If you would like to read Bryce Taylor's book, it's not that expensive. It's worth it.
Yes.
It's worth the investment just to get the information.
Yes.
And they can order it through your site. And I don't...
Yeah. They can go to my site. I have a page called Mind Control. They could click that on. I have another link. All my links, well, my major links, are at the top of every page. One of the links says Bryce Taylor. Just click on that link, and you'll get to a review of the book that was written in 1999 by Uri Dalbenko. Very well-written review. But also, the contents of the books, I typed that out 7 or 8 years ago, so all the chapters are listed there, the sub-chapters, etc. And then there's a direct link to Bryce Taylor. If you want to have a little chat with Bryce Taylor, her email address is right there. Go right to her site, order the book directly from her. She's the one who needs the money. She's the rightful person who, you know, has the right to sell the book. And it's not that much money, as you say. She for a time she had not reprinted the book, and the available copies became rare, so the price had shot up quite a bit, particularly on Amazon. But Bryce subsequently, about a year and a half ago, she decided to to reprint the book. So she's offering it at a very affordable price, and you'll be honoring her and doing the right thing by buying the book from her. And of course, you'll have the hard copy of the book instead of, you know, just having it on your computer screen or printing it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have the original book from the author herself, and I don't know, she might even consider signing some of those. I don't know, but I'll talk to her about it. But she certainly needs a lift in the sales. And the other thing people might do, if you're hearing this program and you want to do something, is to contact those websites. Do a Google search for her book, and then contact those websites about their illegal uploading of copyrighted material. You can use Bryce's book as an example because, you know, you're hearing it from the horse's mouth. She did not give anyone permission to scan and upload her book to the internet. So you can be sure that they're in violation in her case. And there are undoubtedly hundreds, perhaps even thousands of authors' books who are living, who are entitled to the income royalties from their books, who are being denied that by these free book uploading pirates. And they need to be told they're pirates. And they need to be lambasted, and they need to be, their names need to be broadcast all over the internet for being thieving, plagiarizing pirates and criminals that they are. And then, if that happens often enough, then I think we'll start to see a moderation in this blanket thievery that's been going on for a number of years now.
I think we're going to get to the bottom of a lot of issues here, not just Bryce Taylor's book.
I hope so, yeah.
So, okay, Ken, thank you for being on the show tonight, first one of the new year for the West Coast. And I'm sure this archive will be listened to over and over again.
I hope so, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you have a great new year. I look forward to your next appearance on Evident Footprints, and to the listening audience out there, I thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Don on the sound tonight, and you, the listening audience, for tuning in, especially on this holiday evening or morning, whichever is the case. I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.